My name is Juicy Pat Lucy, and you're listening to The Juicy Details here on Podomatic.com. I wish it would pay me for advertising, you know? Sure, we only get like 50 views per podcast, but you know, it's still better than some. I like to think of it. I need money. Anyways, I'm going to get right into it. So, it is May, a new month here on the podcast, and this month I'm interviewing tag teams. Tag team month. All month long, I'm going to be interviewing tag teams. You know, I'm going to be talking about tag team wrestling. I'm going to be talking to some of the best tag teams on the independent scene today, which does not include the Young Bucks, unfortunately. They want too much money. Who can blame them? Anyways, but today I have a great tag team with me. They're a Midwestern tag team. They're making their ranks throughout the entire independent scene. You might have seen them in AIW, Beyond Wrestling, IWA Mid-South, all over the place. At this time, I'd like to welcome Devin and Mason Cutter, the Hooligans.
What's up?
What's up?
First question I have right off the bat is, do people ever, like, come up to you and say, oh, hey, there's another tag team called the Hooligans, and I think you guys just ripped off them, you know? Because, I mean, from my knowledge, there's, like, at least two to three other tag teams known as the Hooligans.
The Forever Hooligans and the UK Hooligans are, I guess, the two more popular teams that are using it. There's a team in Tennessee that use it, but they're not popular. But at the end of the day, it's just a moniker. But we've been doing it. September 5th will be 9 years as the Hooligans. We're the longest running ones.
Wow, 9 years. That is a while. I legit didn't know that.
Yeah.
Also, I was just kind of referring to Paul London and Brian Kendrick. They were kind of known as the Hooligans back in like 05, 06. But... Yeah, I don't think you guys ripped off anyone, you know. It's just a name, anyways.
It's actually a funny story about Paul London's and Flip Kendrick, Kendrick's Hooligan name. We were doing a show with one of their friends from Texas. His name was Biohazard at the time. And he goes, oh man, that's such a cool, sweet name, blah, blah, blah. And then, cause we were already the Hooligans for like a year, and all of a sudden they appear on TV with on the side of their tights.
What's funny is, like, they were never officially known as the Hooligans. They were always just, you know, London and Kendrick, you know. The announcers didn't never refer to them as the Hooligans, even though it was right on their tights.
Yeah.
It was never okay.
It was never okayed by the office, so the team name never took off.
They didn't even like the mask either, I guess. One day Vince just saw, like, them wearing the mask through the ring. It's like, oh, no, no masks, you know.
Yeah.
I never understand that.
Well, they have a product to sell, and those two weren't fitting it at the time.
Well, let's get right into questions for the Yellow Hooligans, you guys, Devin and Mason. I'm going to ask, I'm going to give you two each a chance to answer individual questions. You know, most of these questions are going to be both of you can answer this at the same time.
Cool.
First question is, how did you get involved? How did you become a fan of professional wrestling? Now, since you two are brothers, I believe maybe you two got in at the same time, or maybe one got into it early on and then one later on. I don't know, but let's start with you, Devin. How did you become a fan?
Oh, our dad. He was a huge fan. He always watched all the shows, from like the old stuff that was on TV to like, you know, all the WWF shows that would come on TV. So, I guess that's how it became. And whenever we were around 16 and 15, we just decided that we were going to become professional wrestlers.
Anything you'd like to add to that, Mason?
No, that's pretty much it. I just followed him into it. We both loved it together.
Who were some of your favorites growing up? Mason, let's start with you. Any favorites growing up?
Sabu. That's the one that crosses my mind right now.
How about you, Devin?
I'd have multiple. Tag team-wise, Road Warriors were cool as kid. Single-wise, like Cactus Jack was one of my favorites. As I grew up, it became like Stan Hansen and them.
Now, you just mentioned that you guys got involved actually into professional wrestling at age 15 or 16. So do you want to talk about training growing up and starting out in the business? Let's start with you, Devin.
That's when we decided to be pro wrestlers.
Oh, okay. Decided. Okay. So how long after did you become professional wrestlers?
Well, we started training in Illinois at 18 and 17. And then we never had a professional match during that time. We didn't have our professional matches until 19 and 18 in Atlanta, Georgia.
When we went and got trained at WWA4.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, WWA4. That's a school run by Mr. Hughes, if I'm right. Yep. Want to talk about training there a little bit?
After we did the training with it's a little promotion that was here in Illinois called Max. It folded, so we never, like I said, we never wrestled. We decided we wanted to further our training and actually, because those guys all sucked.
It wasn't real training.
Yeah, it really wasn't real training. So we decided that we wanted to go get real professional training, and we saw WWA4, and we knew who Mr. Hughes was from our childhood, so we were like, oh, this guy actually knows what he's doing, so let's get trained by this guy. So that's what happened, and when we moved down there, Heath Slater was there, and John Gresham, and a couple other guys have flaked off and disappeared, but those two are people that already know who they are, so they were there, and we had our first matches against guys like that.
Now, from the get-go, did you guys know that you wanted to become a tag team no matter what, or were there any instances where perhaps one of you wanted to have a singles career?
No, it was just tag team.
The only thing was, in the beginning, Mason really wanted to wear a mask. But that eventually just kind of faded off to where...
Why would a brother team have masks?
Yeah, why would a brother team have one masked wrestler? So...
Yeah, that would be odd. Like, there's this team on the Super Smash Brothers in Canada, maybe you know them. And for a while, both of them had masks, but now it's just only Player Uno having the mask. And
yeah,
that just doesn't really seem to make sense. If one of you is going to wear a mask, why not both?
Yeah. It was also because he was a huge fan of Sabu, but Hayabusa became one of his favorites too, so he was determined. He wanted to be like Hayabusa, and I was like, we don't need to wear a mask, dude. Come on, let's just fucking, who cares?
Yep, pretty much.
And if you, our old footage, Mason has long hair, and it's an undercut, so it could be outside of the mask, like Hayabusa. And eventually he just shaves it off.
So wait, Mason, if you were going to wear the mask, were you going to have an alternate name other than Mason Cutter?
I don't know. I never really thought about that, because we made the Hooligans gimmick instead, so.
Yeah.
It was just an idea before we were trained. And while getting trained.
Yeah, it was while we were being trained. Just when our first match came about, we didn't have no money for him to get the mask. So we just wrestled in basically two singlets. That's it. And because we were the Cutter Brothers from the get-go. That was our first name, and it's been our only name. And we were just Devin and Mason Cutter. And once that happened, we started having more and more matches after our first match. It just dropped off, and he just had long hair for a while.
So, after you got trained and you started having more matches, going back, who are some of your influences as a tag team or as singles competitors? Let's start with you, Mason.
What influenced me the most, like the really start enjoying wrestling for different reasonings was RVD versus Balls and Honey in ECW, and that's what drawed me into wrestling. But as a tag team, I've always loved the Dudleys and Balls and Honey and Spike's feud. It just really intrigued me and the high spots and all that.
Balls and Spike, I always thought that was an underrated tag team, especially in ECW. Like, everyone always remember the Dudleys, but their feud with Balls, Spike, you know, but I thought that was a great feud.
Well, they had great matches.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, like, the Dudleys are one of our biggest influence anyways, because they pioneered, I know everyone always is like, you know, British Bulldogs or the Road Warriors and stuff like that. Well, we are 90s kids. So, you know, the Dudleys, if you look at our style and then you look at the Dudleys, during the Dudleys' time, no longer do we qualify the stuff they are doing as high spots. But at the time, they did a bunch of huge, big, high spot double teams. And that's what we really have, like, pioneered ourselves after is them. Because if you look at us, it's like, just like the Dudleys, it's a quick 10-minute match full of really big high spots.
Yeah, I remember those matches, yeah. They're definitely great stuff from the Dudleys and the early ECW days. And even the early, days when they were signed to the World Wrestling Federation. No doubt. Yeah. Okay, so my next question, so after you got trained, after you officially became professional wrestlers, how long did it take for you guys to move out of the Atlanta area, and where did you start, working? What were some of the, like, major places you started working at, early on?
The first 3 years we spent in Alabama, Georgia, and the South Carolina area. I guess the biggest place we worked there was, Georgia Championship Wrestling, which is called Great Championship Wrestling now. That's the only big company we worked in the South. And then 08, we moved north back home. And, in October 2008, we started working with IWA Mid-South.
Anything to add to that, Mason?
No.
Solid answer. all right, let's talk about IWA Mid-South. What's it been like working there for these past couple years? And do either you have any Ian Ronan stories, good or bad?
We started in 2008 with IWA. We ended up leaving in 2011. But we worked for and in 2012, we didn't work for IWA at all. And then in 2013, we did one show. And then in 2014, we've done a couple more shows. But 2008 is when we started, and we worked for Ian from 2008 to 2011 for like 120-something shows we did for Ian Rotten. Do we hate our time in IWA Mid-South? No, we don't hate it. We enjoyed a lot of the matches that we were put in. Like, you know, we worked Bad Breed. That was always, they were easy. We worked with Mickey and Knuckles and stuff. And then, we worked Sammy and, Elgin when they were Grits and Gravy.
Moxley.
Yeah, we feuded with, John Moxley, which is now Dean Ambrose. Tyler Black, which is now Seth Rollins. We feuded with Drake Younger and Masada. And, you know, all those things that, you know, we were given, we enjoyed and we loved every minute of it. We regret doing the death matches. That's our biggest regret from IWA, because honestly, if we'd never been in IWA, we wouldn't have ever done a death match. You know, our brawling style comes from the roots of IWA, because we do like ECW. We will brawl. We will do all that. But we also, just like ECW, we like to mix it up with high spots and stuff. So we created our hybrid in IWA. And I think we are unique to our own style. And, so we don't regret it. In 2011, King of Death happened. We did the Deathmatch tournament. And then we decided to sever ties with Ian Rotten and IWA Mid-South. And that lasted until 2013, whenever he contacted us for a return. We did the return, and then we just didn't come back for a while. A little bit, like, you know, differences and stuff. And in 2014, he recontacted us and wanted us to come back again. So right now we've been on a good working relationship and doing some shows with him.
Anything to add, Mason? Working with Ian Braun, and has Ian ever stiffed you guys for pay at all over the years?
No. We're one of the few guys that whenever people always bring that up, they always say, Ian Rotten, he'll fuck you on pay or stiff you on pay. I mean, we've never been stiffed. The only time he's ever stiffed us is in the ring, but that's Ian.
Yep.
Mason, you're one of my favorite guests so far. Less is more. Less is more.
There's a reason why I cut all the promos. Mason doesn't really talk.
So, moving on from IWE Mid-South, what are some of your other favorite places you've worked at over the years? Let's start off with you, Mason.
Right now I'm really enjoying Beyond Wrestling. I think it's something special. I enjoyed AIW. And in the past, is it IPW?
Yeah, IPW.
IPW, when we wrestled Irish Airborne, I really enjoyed that. And that's actually a few years ago when they were running. Those are the shows. But Beyond Wrestling is what I think right now. I think it's something special right now.
And not Anarchy, it's our home.
And Anarchy, yeah, St. Louis Anarchy, because it's our home promotion. It's right here where we live. Right in the middle of the show.
Anything to add, Devin, or pretty much agree with Mason?
I agree. We started with Anarchy right after... Well, we started with Anarchy in 2010 when they were LWA. And we've been working with them for a long time. And, the fan base is very rabid there. They're loyal. I think Anarchy, Beyond, our few appearances in AIW, which we're trying to, get some more lined up. Just gotta get the fans that want the hooligans back. And, all those places have been fun. We're actually about to start work this week with, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. So that'd be another big indie fed to add to our list of places we've worked.
Working with the Juggalos, ICP, I can only imagine.
we actually landed this because of, Sean Radican. He, I guess, told them that we were amazing, and they contacted us.
Thanks, Sean.
Yep.
All right, so we talked about some of the places you've worked. Let's talk about some of your opponents over the years. Do each of you have your own favorite tag teams that you've worked with over the years, or just favorite guys in general? Start with you, Devin.
Favorite people I've worked, for the longest time, one of our favorite matches was in 2009. It was against Elgin and Sammy. Mainly because at the time we'd done nothing really but brawl in IWA. So it was like, for us, it was the time to show what we can do. But the IWA product was on the DL. So people don't really remember that match. The Irish Airborne came in 2010. We really enjoyed working with them. Those matches, if anyone ever gets a chance to go back and look at the IPW history, those are the first times you'll see me and Mason really bust out a really fast-paced high spot style that we now use a lot of. Drake and Masada from 2012 for IWA Midwest, not Ian's group, it was another group, now running again as IWA Midwest, ran by Joey Grunge. We worked Masada and Drake in 2012 in their main event, and that match was actually very, very awesome. Because when we got done with the match, Drake and Masada came to the back. DJ Hyde, who was booked on the same show, they both walked straight up to him and said, "Deej, you better fucking book these two." And we've never been booked. But it's still cool to hear that.
I'm actually surprised you guys haven't been booked for CZW yet. Especially you guys worked a couple of the Beyond Secret shows or the... Yeah, the Beyond shows at the CZW school.
Yeah, about that. If DJ Hyde ever listens, book us. But I guess maybe he doesn't have room for tag teams on his cards. I don't know. But because like half his roster we've wrestled, and they all love working with us. Heck, his main guy, Aaron Fox, we had his first match. We're actually really good friends with. You know, these people always constantly put us over to him, but for some reason, he just doesn't hop on the tag team train. Which is no big deal. Not every promotion, you know, wants to push tag teams. So, and then all our stuff and beyond, we've actually loved. Drew will be putting out a bunch of our sleeper cell tapings. We've had four now, and he's only put out the first one because his computer broke. So there's actually tons of footage from the Midwest that will be pouring onto Beyond soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, so
and then ARW has always been fun. All our matches there we've enjoyed. One of our favorites was against Nixon, because it was really, I think Shane Page and Eric Ryan nonstop, because it really showcased what the Hooligans really were, and it got us to come back against the Fuckets. So, thank you guys for that, and we hope to be back in AIW sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. I'll give a thumbs up to that.
Yep.
Mason, would you like to add anyone to the list of people that you like working with over the years?
No, that covered it about all of it, because some of the people that we worked are on the New Beyond stuff and they ain't out yet, so I don't know if I'm supposed to say their names yet or.
Well, at IWA, IOU, Team IOU.
Yeah, there you go.
Those right now are our favorite tag team to work.
That's the reason why we're working at IWA.
Yeah, they're the main reason.
Get them over.
Yeah, elevate their names.
I want to elevate them because they're nice guys and good friends. Great team.
All right, the next couple questions are going to be more so individual questions. More so what-ifs. Well, the first one is, if you each could have a different tag team partner, who would it be and why? I'll start with you, Mason.
I don't know. I don't know. That's kind of mean to say, because now I got to cut my brother down or something.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you don't have to bury him, but, you know, just more of a, yeah, just a what-if, you know, or even just like a one-time deal, let's say, if you wanted to think of it like that.
I don't think I would tag with anyone else unless I was forced to, like I was this weekend I was forced to tag with Jake Parnell, one of my kind of students type kids, but that's okay. I don't know.
Nothing wrong with that. Loyalty. Devin, do you have a different answer?
Not really. Cause like our main thing is tag team wrestling, and we only want to do it with each other. We actually refuse to do singles matches all the time.
Unless the show's bigger than us.
Unless the show is bigger than us. we've only had like 7 singles matches in 9 years. So, we will turn down singles work just not to take a booking. And, we feel like we are a product that needs to be sold. So, we kind of just stick together.
Yeah, no. Nothing's wrong with that. You know, you guys show loyalty to each other. You know, you're brothers, you know, and you two are pretty much twins at this point, you know. So, like you said, that really is a selling point, I think, to promoters. And, you're loyal to each other, and, you know, you have a lot of chemistry with each other, obviously, in the ring. You know, it shows in all your matches. So, yeah, that's a very excellent point. I don't see you teaming with anyone else or in singles competition. Next question is, for each of you. What are the best and worst qualities of each other? Now is the time to bury your brother if you want. Let's start with you, Devin.
The best is that, you know, he compliments everything I do. I'm more of the brawler of the two. I do some high flying, but that's mainly his thing.
My worst quality is, if Devin wasn't there, I wouldn't work. I would just do high spots.
Yeah. I kind of like, break down the wall of kayfabe here. I kind of hold the matches together and I remember everything. If Mason was the main person, then you would just see nothing but moonsaults and head drop moves.
To be fair, there are some fans out there that just want to see that.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do try to give as much high spots as we want. Like, I mean, if the match and the people we're working against, they want from start to finish that style, then we will give it to them. It's not an issue. It's just like, you know, sometimes it's not needed on a smaller show.
No, I understand. You want to bust out the big stuff for the bigger shows, obviously.
Yeah.
But Mason, do you have anything positive or negative to say about your brother?
The positive thing is he's always the one that sets the matches together. I just follow the lead. He knows what I want to do. He knows I'm going to get my stuff in. I don't really think I have any negatives because he helps me out more than I help him.
All right, no, that's all good. And the last thing, my last question is, what are your goals as a tag team, or if you each have your own individual goals for the future? Start with you, Mason.
I don't know, just trying to advance as far as we can in wrestling and keep moving up the way we're doing it. We're doing an alright job moving through the indie scene and keep moving up. That's my goal. See how far we can go with this. See if I can see the world, maybe.
Anything to add to that, Devin?
Yeah, our main goals are, you know, we want to, you know, be a top tier tag team. We want to be ranked in there with the Young Bucks and the Briscoes. Because everyone, when you talk about tag teams on the indies, they always say Young Bucks and Briscoes. Well, we want to add a third part to that. So whenever you think about top tag teams, you think of the Hooligans as well. And then, you know, main goals, we want to wrestle in all over the world, you know. To go to WWE and stuff, I mean, if it ever happened, it happened, but we're actually pretty old now, 28 and 27, so, you know, WWE's cutoff is 30 years old, so we're going to have to definitely get picked up soon if we were to ever even try to get that. But that was never one of our main goals anyways. It's always been Japan and Mexico. So we definitely want to get over to Japan and Mexico and, like, create our own niche, like the Young Bucks are doing right now.
Oh yeah, they're killing it in Japan right now. You see all the tweets saying we're over in Japan.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. So, very last thing is plugs. Now's the time to plug whatever you want. You can plug your social media, Facebook, Twitter, where people can find you, where your fans can find you. And then upcoming weeks, any events you want to plug in, go right ahead.
You can catch us on Facebook at the Cutter Brothers or the Hooligans. The like page is the Hooligans or Cutter Brothers if you want to talk to us personally. Twitter, Bearded Bullies, BEARDEDBULLYS. I know the bullies is spelled wrong, but BULLIES is already taken. So, we had to go that route. The Hooligans 1 is our YouTube channel. If you want to watch matches, we try to keep adding a new match every week or so. and there's always promos going up for whatever new promotions we're coming to. Shows coming up, Thursday and Friday night, you can catch us at JCW, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Saturday, we're doing a local show, Strictly Insane Pro Wrestling. It's located in Crossville, Illinois. Big shows coming up for us, July 25th. The Hooligans finally get to take on the Young Bucks at St. Louis Anarchy in Alton, Illinois. And then the following night we'll be at the Gathering of the Juggalos. We have, 4 Beyond dates coming up, Secrets, shows and Sleeper Cells coming up. All 4 will be for Beyond. Those will be going out on the internet soon. Other than that, check out our Facebook, Cutter Brothers. We constantly are updating our travel schedule. We are all over the country at any given time. Catch us at the shows.
And I'm guessing, Mason, you don't have anything to add to that.
No, that's pretty
much it. That covered it all, right?
That covered that all, you know?
All of it. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and chit-chatting with me for a while. It was a pleasure talking to both of you, mainly Devin here. But, no, it was a pleasure, truly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you both, and thank you all for listening to another episode of the Juicy Details. I hope to see you back next time.